Hi, this is Tia Sirkar. I play Sabine Wren on Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Twin Suns Transmission.
Of course, it ends where it began. A desert planet with twin suns.
Hey, my name is Taylor Gray, and I play Ezra Bridger in Star Wars Rebels. I hope you enjoy this week's episode of Twin Suns Transmission.
Here's where the fun begins.
Let's make this a bit more interesting.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
The garbage will do!
Nothing will stand in our way.
May the Force be with us.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to us. Thank you so much for listening to Twin Suns Transmission. I'm your host, Eric Pfeiffer, and I am joined, as always, by the fabulous Jesse Cardella.
Hey, guys.
This is the 89th episode of Twin Suns Transmission, and it's the first episode of 2017. So, if you're listening to this, you made it. You got through 2016, and that's a good sign. At this point, that's a good sign. So
it is.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening to us. Whether you're new or you've been with us since the beginning, we do appreciate you joining us on Twin Suns Transmission. And why don't we begin, Jesse, with the segment which we call How's Your Star Wars?
How's your Star Wars?
Oh, Jabba.
Now back to Country Club.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
And for all of our new listeners, How's Your Star Wars is a segment in which Jesse and I have at the beginning of every show, and this segment basically just talks about how our week was Star Wars-wise. So Jesse, how was your Star Wars this week?
This week was awesome because we finally moved the Xbox from my boyfriend Brandon's house to my house, which means we have internet and it works.
Yay.
And it's great. So I hit rank 10, or actually no, 11 this weekend. So I'm this close to opening up hut contracts. So
okay,
I'm getting there.
And what game mode have you been playing mostly?
I played a ton of the Scarif expansion, because I hadn't actually gotten to play that yet until the other day. So, yeah, it's awesome and beautiful. And my sister, who is not even, like, a huge Star Wars fan or anything, she just, like, came downstairs and she was like, whoa, you're there. You're in it.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, I remember, like, at the beginning, before Battlefront even came out and we had seen trailers for it and stuff, they were promoting the fact that they actually went to, like, the locations of the filming for these planets, you know?
Yeah.
To like, scope out the area and to make it look pretty much as close to what you would find on screen as possible. So
they did. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Even more gorgeous to see on your own big screen.
Yeah. Did you unlock anything else, like any other blasters or star cards or anything?
No, everything has such, like, a high rank. Like, I'm sure I unlocked some things, like, right away, but everything else is, like, rank 15 to unlock things.
Mm.
So I keep checking and keep being disappointed.
Yes, leveled up. What can I unlock? Oh,
nothing.
Yeah. You'll get there, though, especially now if you have internet and you can play it pretty much whenever you want. Is it staying there, or...?
The agreement is that it's staying here until the internet is fixed at Brandon's house.
Okay.
So we'll see how long that takes.
Okay. Just delay it. Just be like, oh no, it's not good enough to go back there.
I don't think it's going to work. So Eric, how was your Star Wars this week?
My Star Wars was good. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you have Christmas, right? At least that's
right.
What I celebrate Christmas. And so there's, like, your mom's family that comes in, your dad's family, and then my sister came in from Texas. And so I had, like, almost three different Christmases type thing. And so I got a whole bunch of really cool Star Wars stuff for Christmas, right? And then Christmas is over, and now it's, like, New Year's time, and a lot of these different stores and locations are having sales. Like, I can't tell you how many different stores I went to this past week and got really good deals on Star Wars stuff. Kohl's had a whole bunch of ornaments that one of my friends picked up for me, just like ornaments that were on sale that were normally, you know, $15 or whatever they were. So you got some good ornaments on sale. And then I also got the Rogue One soundtrack, which I was really looking forward to getting, but I didn't want to buy it until after I had, like, exchanged gifts with everybody, since you never know. So I went to Target a couple days back, and they had a couple dollars off at Target for the Rogue One soundtrack. And then on top of that, I got a 5% off discount with my Target Red card, which is always a plus. Yeah, so I got it for, like, $12.30 or something, which is a pretty good deal. Yeah. So I got all that, and then I got a very special package in the mail from a good friend of mine, and it was from Lucasfilm, and it has some crew stuff from the ILM visual effects crew that worked on Rogue One. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. So it was, you know, even though Christmas is over, it was a good week merchandise-wise. And this was also the final week for a lot of the theaters like Regal and AMC to have their, like, weekly giveaways and stuff. So this past Saturday and Sunday, which happened to be New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, Regal had their final commemorative ticket, and then AMC had their final Rogue One poster giveaway. So I got all those, so I got the set for both now, which is pretty exciting.
I heard you got, like, the first one of those tickets. It's, like, ticket number one.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, at Regal, I was, like, the first one in there, and I used my ultimate ticket, and I was like, you guys are also supposed to have commemorative ticket today, and they're like, oh, yeah, and the manager goes back, and I had dealt with her before because I was like, you know, every week I've been going back there a lot of times, so the manager knows me now since I have the ultimate ticket, and I'm there, like, all the time, but she's like, oh, yep, got you number one. I'm like, yes. So she knows that I wanted that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty nice of her. And I also was able, we did this, like, gift card game thing where everybody kind of chipped in money in my family. And then I created a game for everybody to play, and everybody, like, kind of placed, you know, if it was like a game where I had items from my house in a stocking, and my family members had to guess what was in my stocking that I had taken around from my house. And I'd give them clues and things like that. But if you guessed what was in the stocking, you got to pick a gift card out of the gift cards that I had went out and bought for the family to play. And I ended up getting the last gift card. So I let everybody else choose, and then I got the last one, and I ended up getting a Fandango gift card. So now, in addition to my ultimate ticket at Regal, I can also go see it at pretty much any other theater that accepts Fandango. Oh. So
awesome.
Yeah. And my count is at 10 now. I'm so excited.
Oh, wow. I got 2 as this weekend.
Nice. Nice. Hey, that's double where you were last week.
It is double, but I still missed Chopper.
Oh, geez.
And Brandon didn't even know who he was, and I was like, did you see this droid? Because I still haven't seen him. And he was like, oh, yeah, I saw that droid. And I don't know if he was just messing with me or if he really saw him, and I still haven't seen him.
It's a split second. It's so fast.
I know, so and quick. I was, like, looking for him, too.
You'll have to go with me, because I'll elbow you and be like, look, there he is.
Yes. So I need that.
Yes. And you have some Ray mugs for me that I have to
get
from you.
They're sitting here in bubble wrap.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least the Disney store packs them up right. So
They do.
All right. Well, we want to know how your Star Wars was. So if you've got something exciting that happened to you this past week, let us know on Facebook or Twitter. And we'll, you know, we'd love to hear about that. So make sure to let us know about how your Star Wars was. Jesse, let's go into this week's Star Wars News of the Week. So, Jesse, there was something that they announced for Rebels. We know when Rebels is coming back.
Yes, Rebels will be back on Disney XD this coming Saturday, January 7th. So we're finally going to get to see exactly what Saw was doing before Rogue One, and hopefully how he got to be where he was when we saw him in Rogue One. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
That is exciting. And this episode, I think it's called, like, Ghost of Geonosis or something like that. Like, it's Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's called Ghosts of Geonosis. And when I went on my DVR to record this, I noticed that it's like an hour-long episode. There's like two parts to it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I didn't know that.
So, and this is something that we're going to be talking about as our main topic this week. I want to talk about how much we think Rebels will sort of merge into Rogue One. So we'll talk a lot about that, and I think this episode is kind of it's kind of gonna help us see the connection here, and maybe Saw, you know, well, maybe he'll play a bigger role in Rebels now, after this upcoming episode. We'll see. Who knows? Also, Doug Chang was announced that he is coming to Star Wars Celebration Orlando. And I've been lucky enough to sort of see him in person a couple times at these celebrations. And if you don't know who Doug Chang is, I'm going to tell you right now because he's super important. He's basically like the Ralph McQuarrie of Star Wars now. I mean, he is, let's see, the official title on the celebration, Star Wars Celebration website says Lucasfilm Vice President and Executive Creative Director. But he does all the concept design, and so I think on one of the like promo things for Rogue One, he was talking about how like there were 80 designs for the U-Wing at one point or something like that. And so he does all of these designs. He wrote the foreword in the Art of the Rogue One book, which I was lucky enough to get for Christmas this year. So I can't wait to dive into that. But if you flip through that, a lot of those designs and everything were from Doug Chang. So I've actually never been to one of his panels or anything, but he's going to be somebody pretty exciting to hear speak. And he was also at the Rogue One red carpet, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly. He was there with Kiri Hart. So pretty exciting stuff. And as we get closer, I mean, now we're in January, celebration's in April, so we're only a couple months away. So there's going to be a whole lot more news and celebrity guest announcements and all this exciting stuff coming up for Star Wars Celebration. So get excited. I guess all the four-day passes have been sold out as well. So
yep. It's crazy.
It's going to be a huge party. All right, Jesse, let's go into our main topic of discussion. And basically what this is going to consist of, it's going to consist of a couple different questions and thoughts that we sort of were introduced to this week. And some people on Twitter, I guess, have asked us these questions. Jesse, that's pretty accurate, right?
Nope.
No? Okay.
No, somebody at work asked me.
Okay. All right, well, we'll address some of these. So first, let's go into how will Rebels merge with Rogue One? And what are your thoughts, Jesse? How close do you think we'll get to the beginning of Rogue One with these characters?
I think we're going to get pretty close. I feel like they've shown so much haven't shown so much, but to me, when I see the ghost, like, I started counting and then I stopped during my last viewing of Rogue One. If I see it go across the screen, like, 5 or 6 times, like, it's in that many of the space battle shots, I feel like they put it in there because they knew we were going to see it and they knew that was going to be a big part of what's happening in Rebels. We know that's what the Rebellion's leading up to, so why not lead us all the way there, if not almost all the way there?
So are you suggesting then that we will get more information about Hera and Chopper and some of the characters that we know survive in Rebels that make it to Rogue One? I mean, does our story with those characters end in what we see in Rogue One?
Probably.
So what we see in Rogue One, what you're saying, at least what you think, is it. That's the last we'll see of Hera and
maybe
Chopper.
Not Hera and Chopper. I mean, I could see them getting their own, maybe a comic or another book, but probably, like, screen-wise, that, I think, is the last we'll see of them in the timeline.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so we don't actually see Hera. For those of you who are like, wait a minute, we don't see her. We don't actually see her in Rogue One, but there is like an intercom thing that on the Yavin 4 base that says, General Syndulla, please report to the briefing room. General Syndulla, please report to the briefing room, or something like that. So we know that it's Hera, and we see Chopper, and we see the ghost. So there's obviously some members of the ghost crew that survive. And Jess, I think we may have been talking about this off air at one point, but at one point in Return of the Jedi, Yoda says, when gone am I, the last of the Jedi will you be, talking to Luke Skywalker. And so that basically clues us into the fact that Kanan and Ezra, you know, they either going to have to leave the Order or they're going to have to die. And we don't see them. We don't see any sign of them at all in Rogue One. So are you anticipating deaths for the both of them?
I don't know. Because we've had all this Ezra, will he go to the dark side? Will he not? I mean, I wonder if that's something where it's like, okay, you're the last of the Jedi. So maybe, like you said, he's left the Order and he's, you know, on some different, darker path. I don't know. I think it's possible that that could happen to Ezra. I don't want that to happen to Ezra. But if that is not what happens, then they either have to be dead or Yoda has to not know about them, which I think is kind of, would be a kind of rarity.
Yeah. So you're starting to like Ezra a lot more now, aren't you?
I do like Ezra a lot more than I did originally. He's really grown on me. I think it has to do with everything that's happened between him and Maul. Mm-hmm. And his relationship with Kanan after Kanan getting blinded. And I just love that he didn't, you know, fall directly in with Maul. Like, it seemed like he was going to, but this past season has kind of really developed him into a really interesting character where we've still got this Maul guy and he's still willing to work with him, but he hates him now. And I kind of love that. But I think that could also, you know, anger leads to hate, hate leads to suffering, and then the dark side. And so I feel like that could still put him on that path, but I don't think he'll go down that path with Maul necessarily. But
and
I don't know. Kanan? It's just so interesting. Oh, Kanan. I think he's going to die. I think he's going to die.
Well, one thing that I remember hearing Dave Filoni say is that it's really hard for him to put Vader in Rebels because there's nobody that can provide that challenge for him. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, obviously that's Ahsoka was in there for that. But right. Other than that, I mean, who's going to stand up to Vader and provide a challenge? And we know it can't be Obi-Wan because Obi-Wan's in hiding, and the first time that they see each other after all these years is aboard the Death Star in A New Hope. So it can't be Obi-Wan. And Yoda, he's off in hiding as well. And at this point, honestly, if it's, you know, if I have my say in it, at this point in Yoda's life, I don't think Yoda will even be a challenge for Vader.
No.
You know, Yoda's old, and he's not the Jedi he used to be. This is not Yoda in his prime at this time. So, and even Kanan and Ezra, you know, Kanan sort of was kind of left on his own after Order 66, you know, to kind of do his own thing. And, you know, his master obviously didn't survive, and there's a whole lot that is not good for Kanan. Like, his training wasn't officially completed, and he wasn't done learning about the Force, I don't think. And now he's trying to train Ezra, and Ezra got into his training a lot later in life than, say, Kanan. You know, so I don't know. I think neither Kanan nor Ezra, even if both of them went in together, say, after another 6 months of training, none of them can handle it. Now, what I thought would be interesting is if we end up having a battle between Maul and Vader, I think that would be kind of interesting. You know, especially maybe like Kanan and Ezra and Maul team up against Vader. That would be crazy.
Oh, that would be crazy. I mean, you'd think that that would be part of what Maul is after, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, in the end, Vader is also his replacement. Anyone else is his replacement at this point.
Yeah.
So, I could see him getting super pissed at him and going at him. That would be cool.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Vader who takes out Kanan, and maybe even Ezra too, because that's part of what Vader's job was as a newly appointed Sith Lord, was to take out the Jedi.
Right.
And I think that's still in the back of his mind, knowing that there are Jedi out there still, is going to be part of Vader's mission to just wipe them out. So we'll see. And Maul, I mean, he just won't die. I mean, he just keeps coming back. So I think he may have to get slain by Vader as well, or Palpatine, or Obi-Wan. You know, Obi-Wan, maybe we'll see a Obi-Wan-Maul battle. They keep alluding to Obi-Wan in this.
They do. I feel like we definitely will see an Obi-Wan-Maul battle, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, if we don't at this point, they've led up to it so much, that would be a bummer.
And they've referred to Tatooine a couple times with the planet of twin suns, which obviously is very exciting for us. So it would be cool if we end up going back to Tatooine to see everything that's happened. And you know what, Jesse? These episodes of Rebels, I mean, I can't remember the exact timeline, but I'm pretty sure season one of Rebels is 5 years prior to A New Hope. And now that we're in season three of Rebels and Maul is still around, I mean, that's a good amount of time that has passed, you know, at least a good 6 months to a year by this time, I would think, if not longer than that. So, you know, Maul is still this prime player in what's happening in the universe, leading all the way up to A New Hope almost, which is crazy.
It is. I mean, okay, so 5 years, 5 years till A New Hope.
Mm-hmm. From where season one of Rebels began.
Right. And it's not like they've announced that Rebels is ending anytime soon.
They're not saying,
like, only one season left, or only two seasons left, or whatever. Like, I think for sure it'll lead into Rogue One.
And, I mean, they keep like Saw Gerrera, right? I mean, we're obviously getting him in this weekend's episode. So that'll be cool. I mean, we'll get to see just how messed up he actually becomes, and that'll be interesting. So we also, Jesse, don't get to see Zeb, and we don't get to see Sabine in Rogue One, or even hear of them or see anything from them. I thought it would be cool, and maybe this isn't, you know, this is too much of a combining two different entities, but I thought it would be interesting if we saw some kind of, like, graffiti or something on the side of one of the walls of the Yavin temples or something, you know.
I thought that would have been cool.
Yeah.
That, just to show, like, hey, Sabine is still around doing her thing.
Yeah. But I think we talked about this off air. We think, or at least I think, that based off of what happened in the last episodes where Sabine got the Darksaber, that in one of the Rebels Recon episodes, after that episode where she gets that, it basically, I think it was Pablo Hidalgo that said basically that Darksaber is a symbol of authority now. And so I think that means, or that suggests to me, that, you know, this House Ren Clan Vizsla character of Sabine that now is in possession of the Darksaber is going to go off and sort of lead Mandalore. And we may never see or hear from her again.
I would love that, though, for Sabine. Any way that our characters cannot die, they can go do something else that's really cool, I'm down. So I really like that idea. And I like that in Rogue One, one of the file names or file code names was Darksaber. So to me, that the Empire would be aware of that.
Yeah, I think it was actually Black Saber, but it was. I mean, it's basically the same.
Right, so, it's got to be the same thing.
Yeah.
So to me, that's like, okay, they're aware of that object. So maybe they're aware of that object because it's this big object of power for Mandalore at that time. Maybe it's Sabine.
Could be. I don't know. It'll be interesting. And we obviously have these characters like Thrawn that have played prominent roles in this latest season of Rebels that clearly are not involved in Rebels as we continue. I mean, Rogue One, excuse mm-hmm. me. So that'll be interesting. Now, how do you feel about this? Is this too much of combining a universe together between the TV shows and the movies? Does it make it feel like the universe is too small for you?
No, not at all. I feel like it expands it for me because I love thinking about this stuff and I love figuring out where everything fits in and the timeline and everything. So to just be given more and be speculating about it less, like, not speculating about it less, but, you know, but to not have to just be like, oh, I wish this would happen, or, oh, it would be cool if that's how it went together, but to be able to know, like, oh my gosh, that's how it all fits together, that makes it even more intricate and more detailed and definitely doesn't close it off mm-hmm. to me at all.
Now, do you think that we will see the Death Star in Rebels?
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Will
we see Krennic?
Form of it. I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe. I mean,
in Rogue One.
Thrawn or something.
Yeah. In Rogue One, we see the Death Star being completed. So there's no way that we should see a completed Death Star in Rebels. But,
right.
I mean, maybe we'll see parts of it being put together or something. I think that would be cool.
That would be cool. Oh, it would be really cool if they somehow... No, that wouldn't make sense. I was thinking if they somehow met Galen and he, like, tried to pass them information, but it didn't work, that would be cool.
I mean, I haven't read any of Catalyst, so I don't know the backstory of that yet, like, what Galen was doing, but we obviously know that Galen was working on the Death Star, you know, before the work has stalled, you know, and then, so Galen was obviously working on the Death Star. There's a young Jyn, he's with his family. Then they somehow live on this Lamu planet and, you know, do farming for a long time and at least a couple of years. And then Krennic comes back to Galen to bring him back to help complete the project. So, yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how it all fits in. And honestly, to me, it's, I don't want to say surprising, but it's kind of eye-opening that they are focused so intently on this time period right now. Between episodes 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll see more Tarkin in Rebels. That would be awesome, too.
Agreed.
But we know that Chopper survives. We know that Hera survives. We know that the Ghost is around. And I know there was a lot of people that were kind of confused that, well, if the Ghost is here and Hera survives in Rogue One, why is it not in the Battle of the First Death Star? And what about the U-Wings? Where are they at? And all this stuff. And here's the thing, and this is what I tell a lot of people. Well, there's a lot of different rebel cells that are taking place right now. It's not just the rebellion as a whole. Bam, everybody's centralized. There's a lot of different rebel cells all over the place. And even in Rogue, we see that. We have Saw Gerrera's extremist rebels, and then we have the Alliance. You know, there's not just the rebels. And that's why if you look at Phoenix Squadron and the Ghost and everything from Rebels, they use a lot of the A-Wings, right? And they use the Ghost, and they have a lot of, you know, sometimes they get help with from the Corellian Corvettes, the blockade runners and things. But for the most part, we don't see any X-Wings. We don't see any B-Wings, really. Although we see the Blade Wing, which was like the prototype B-Wing briefly. But for the most part, it's A-Wings, right? I mean, that's what we mm-hmm. see mostly. And then in the Battle of the First Death Star, there ain't one A-Wing at all in there to be seen. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, just because you don't see it in the original Star Wars doesn't mean that it wasn't necessarily there somewhere else in the galaxy.
Right.
And also, in Return of the Jedi, a lot of those cells come together, and then we have the A-Wings, we have the B-Wings, we have the X-Wings, and so I think that was pretty cool. I think that's pretty cool how they kind of add all those in there, too. So, I don't know. There's a lot to kind of talk about with this. And the U-Wings, honestly, the U-Wings are like troop carriers. They're sort of like troop transports, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no reason why they would be attacking a Death Star. They're not primary attack vehicles. They're mostly, hey, let's grab all these people and take them to wherever, you know.
Right.
So.
But one other thing with that because we do see the ghost so much in Rogue One, the one time I noticed that you don't see it is when everybody's, like, going into hyperspace and getting away.
I've been looking for that, too. I keep trying to, I really want to pause it and, like, look everywhere for it, but...
What I really don't want is for them to lead us directly into Rogue One with Rebels, be like, look, they're all alive, and then just, like, have them, like, hyperspace into the set of, like, a Star Destroyer and all die or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that, Lucasfilm.
You hear that? Jesse Cartello from Twin Suns Transmission doesn't want that.
So, not what I want.
Yeah. Well, I think for the most part, with Rebels, they've gotten us so attached to all of these characters that if they're going to kill somebody off, they will do it the right way. You know what I mean? And I think Dave Filoni, who is now the executive producer or something, he's not the director anymore, but whatever he is, I don't know. I can't remember what his title is exactly, but he is so attached to a lot of these characters. He knows the story of these characters. He knows what's going to happen. He's been working with the story group. They have a whole plan for what's going to happen with these characters. I know they're not going to just be like, oh, they're dead, you know. So,
I don't want to see them die in that battle at all, though. Can I have that?
Yeah.
Not even in a really cool way.
Okay. Well, what we do know is that there are a lot of rebels who are very involved in what's going on in the story, like Hera, that we never see in the rebellion at all as we continue. So there's no way that every single rebel character that we've been introduced to during this time is going to walk away from the battle against the Empire. Oh, well, what can you do? All right, well, let's go on to another topic of discussion. And this is a question, Jesse, that I thought was kind of interesting. And the question is, would Chirrut Imwe have been a Jedi Knight if he'd lived during the time of a prospering Jedi Order? What do you think?
I think he would have been. He is extremely Force sensitive, unlike any other just random person that we've met in Star Wars post-Jedi Order. So, I mean... he literally just dodges bullets, and it's not like luck all the time, because he like literally moves his head sometimes, like out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are certain points where he's just walking and, you know, force praying that he won't get shot. But there are also times when he like ducks and weaves and knows that if he moves to the left, that blast will like shoot the guy behind him. Like that's. Mm-hmm. That's some extreme Force sensitivity. I think he would have been, you know, found as a little kid and brought into the Jedi Order for sure.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say I don't know on this, because I don't know. But just for the sake of arguing, I'm going to say no. I don't think he would be. And here's why. I feel like when you lose one of your senses, like for example with Chirrut, his sight, that a lot of times your other senses become magnified. And so I think maybe Chirrut has this innate ability to kind of feel where bullets are coming or feel where he needs to be. I think he knows about the Force. I think he may be somewhat Force sensitive, but I'm not sure if he would be a Jedi necessarily. As we know from Lor San Tekka, who is the head of the Church of the Force or whatever in The Force Awakens, that there are a lot of people out there that study the Force and that kind of are Force worshippers, you know. And I think part of what makes a Jedi, like from what we see in the prequel trilogy and even in The Force Awakens, for example, there are things that Jedi can do that are just like outrageously unexplainable. You know, Anakin says in episode 1, I'm the only human who can do it, relating to pod racing. You know, there's a lot of things that it's like he does that he can't explain how that happened. And even with Rey in The Force Awakens, you know, I think Finn says something about, well, how did you get away? And Rey says something about how, like, I can't explain it, and even if I could, you wouldn't believe me, or something like that. You know, there's a lot of these just, like, innate abilities that the Jedi have to kind of do things without even knowing what they're doing. And to me, it seems like Churrit is, yeah, maybe he's force sensitive. You know, he knew that Jin had that necklace on. And there's no way that he could necessarily feel it unless he was maybe using the force to, like, feel its power or something. I don't know. But I'm going to say no, because of all those reasons. I think if he was force sensitive and he was able to be a Jedi, like, let's say Anakin or Rey or anything. Now, granted, I get that those are the Skywalkers, or at least Anakin is. We don't know about Rey yet, but she's obviously got some extreme force sensitivity and extreme power. You know, who knows what her midichlorian count is, but I think if Churrit was a Jedi, he would be, like, not one of the elites. But I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, I agree with you with the whole, like, when you lose one of your senses, the others, you know, do become stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But I really feel, especially because he can, like, even sense the darkness around someone. Like, he can, without talking to them, he just be like, okay, well, I guess he's listening to what people are saying, too. But there was really not a huge sign to anyone besides Churrit that Cassian was going to go try to kill someone, let alone it be Jin's father. So, and even Baze is like, no, he's got a kind face. He's got a he's got a nice face. He looks nice. He's fine. Like, he was the only one that really, like, knew that something really terrible was about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, that doesn't come with blindness, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, that's some force use, if you ask me. He could sense that the force was moving darkly around him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think since he hasn't, I mean, it's not like he does anything, like you said, like, extremely remarkable, like Anakin or Rey, but he wasn't found, I mean, I guess Rey wasn't found until she was older either, but maybe the with some training. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, that's obviously something that you need. But I think with Rey, I mean, just her realizing that, hey, maybe I do have this special ability. You know, she could use a mind trick without any training. Now, granted, it took her a second to be able to figure out exactly how to do it. But even within the first, you know, couple days or even hours that she realized that, hey, I can use the Force, she was able to pull the lightsaber out of the snow from across the battle with Kylo,
right.
You know, and it was just hours before that she realized, hey, I have the Force, you know. So I think if Churrit was like super Force sensitive like that, he would have been able to do more than just smack people around with a stick. Like, I feel like he would have been able to Force push, you know, if he had studied the Force for as long as it seems like he has, that if he was extremely Force sensitive, that he would be able to do things like that. But, who knows? I have no idea.
Right. I'd be curious to see what somebody, because we know there's still, you know, children being born with the Force. It's not that, you know, because it doesn't have to be, like, down a family line or anything like that, to the point where it's not possible for it to happen anymore. And it seemed like not a common thing, but they had a good amount of younglings at a time. So either they've got to be out there. So I'd be really curious to see what that looks like in this post, you know, Jedi Order fashion. Like, are these people, maybe they're not, you know, force pushing and doing all this cool stuff because they know that somebody will probably come and kill them. If they do. You know, I just wonder what that looks like. I wonder if that is what it looks like, is Churrit, but he's like, maybe he's holding back. I don't know, and maybe we'll never know.
Well, at this point, I don't think we'll know.
But, unless we get like a backstory Churrit book where he's like doing all this crazy stuff, and then somebody's like, whoa, you're gonna get killed, bro, and then he stops.
Yeah. Yeah, Churrit is definitely a very interesting character. I think it was cool that they added his character in there, and I don't mean to be like I don't mean to diminish his abilities or anything like that by saying, oh yeah, he just hits people with a stick. I think Churrit is a really good character. I think he's a good martial artist. I think he's a studier of the Force. I think he's awesome. So whoever asked you those questions, Jesse, thank them for asking those, and we obviously love answering questions from Twitter or other fans who just let us make us aware of some things that they've been thinking about. We love those, and so we'll continue to answer some questions as we go on. Now, Jesse, on next week's show, we are going to be talking about The Ghost of Geonosis, which I think is the name of that episode that's coming up. It's a two-part episode. It's an hour-long show on Disney XD, and so we'll be talking about that. It's the first episode of Rebels since returning from the holiday break, and it's the beginning of the second half of Season 3. So I would assume within the next couple months we'll get a season finale of Season 3, which will be pretty awesome. And as I mentioned, I think it was on our last show, or maybe the show before that, Amy Ratcliffe said that she would be delighted to join us and talk about Star Wars Rebels Season 3 finale, which will be pretty awesome. So we're excited about that. We also have this month coming up, next week we'll be talking about some of the cool things that are coming up for the Star Wars Half Marathon The Light Side event that's going to be taking place in Anaheim at Disneyland. And next week is the week before, and then the following week, I guess, it takes place. And after the light side races take place, we're going to have a good friend of mine, Michael, on the show to talk about his experiences running the races and what the medals look like and people in costume and things like that. So that'll be pretty exciting to see that stuff as well. So make sure to come back next week, as we're going to be talking about the newest episode of Rebels and previewing what's going to be happening at this half marathon, and it'll be a good time. So, Jesse, before we go here, why don't you take us into this week's Star Wars trivia?
So, unfortunately, last week's trivia, it didn't get posted, and I'm really sorry about that, guys, but it was how many people populate the planet of Lamu, where Jyn and her father lived as farmers, and the answer was 500 or less than 500. And then this week's trivia, which I promise will be posted, is what is the weapon that Chirrut Imwe uses in Rogue One along with his staff?
Okay, so this is the first trivia question for the month of January. So if you know the answer to this question, make sure you're the first person to answer it correctly on our Facebook post that specifically asks for this question. And if you're the first person, you will receive a prize from us. So good luck. And may the Force be with you on that, if you don't believe in luck. So that'll be pretty exciting. And I also wanted to mention, too, that as we continue this week, I will be doing a Twitch. And, Jesse, maybe if you're free, you can join us. You can
yes.
join a Twitch with us if your internet works. I kind of want to show you guys the bow staff, or the bow rifle, I guess, the bow rifle, because that's a pretty awesome weapon. And you can electrocute people if you're close to them, which is pretty cool. So I definitely want to show that off, and maybe we can play some Scarif, or I don't know, we'll see what we want to do. We can level up a little bit, get you to your hut contracts, Jesse.
Yes, so, that's what I need.
Yes, and we also are going to be having a whole bunch of new episodes of all the different shows that are on the Twin Sons Podcast Network. We have Ashla Analysis, which should be released tomorrow, and we also have a new episode of the Jawa Roundup coming soon as well to kick us off for this new year. So hopefully you enjoy all of our shows on the Twin Sons Podcast Network, and like I said, we'll be flinging those out at you within the next week or so. So enjoy. Jesse, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at Jess Living with Muggles, and you can find me on Twitter at Cardella MJ, as well as our podcast Twitter, which is at Twin Sons Podcast.
Okay, and if you're looking for me, you can find me on facebook.com/FeiferCon. If you want a little bit more information on my collection, you can also find me on facebook.com/TwinSonsTransmission or TwinSonsOutpost. I'll be able to be reached at both of those. You can also find me on Twitter @_EricPfeiffer or on Instagram @FusedUmbrella13, which also happens to be our Twitch feed name. So you can find us on all those places. So for Eric and Jesse, we hope you had a fantastic new year and hope you have a great 2017. We'll see you next week, and may the Force be with you.
Air Master, Tatooine. It's controlled by the Hutt.
I'll meet you at the rendezvous point on Tatooine.
This son's doing murder to me, I think.